certain question, maybe you can put up your hand and you can ask. Whatever question that can help you develop the understanding and the wisdom. Question can be related to your meditation, or you can report your meditation. That one also will help. Then you can ask me any question with regards to the meditation and the Dhamma, means the teaching of the Buddha, which part you're not sure, and which part of the meditation you're not sure. Also how you can apply what you have learned here, so that it's useful for you. So this part is useful. Q&A and then Dhamma discussion and sharing, we are reviewing the daily mindfulness and Dhamma. Okay, now anybody wants to report their meditation? You better make use of this opportunity, because this is very important. It can help you a lot. Yes. Yes. Can you use the mic? Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, when in contemplation, there is some thoughts also arising, right?
Okay.
Is that also a condition arising?
Okay. Very good question. You see, what he is asking is, what is the difference between thinking and contemplation? What is thought? So during Dhamma contemplation, he realized thought also arise. But when you do Dhamma contemplation, it's different from thinking, from the usual heedless arising of thought. The heedless arising of thought is you got no control because it has become habitual. Then its condition arising is because depending on what you think, that type of thought, the train of thought will come. Depend on what you see, what you hear, or what you tactile feel and smell and taste. So all this will condition you into that pattern of thinking or train of thought and your usual behavior. But when we come to Dhamma contemplation, it's not thinking. That's why I told you all to silence your mind. When you are silent with inner awareness, what happens? You still have your senses in there, Karena. You still can see in there. You still can perceive in there. But now you are not supposed to allow it to do the usual thing. Means when you're silent and aware, there is an awareness of everything that is within your field of vision and your senses. Understand? Means when you're silent, especially when you close your eyes, what happened? The vision, the awareness of what you see is not there. Understand? Then you rely on what? Your hearing. Correct? And then you realize it's sharper. Understand? Why? Because you are not focused on what you see. Your awareness is not on that. Understand? But when you are completely silent and yet your eye is open, when you are centered in this heart area, understand, connected to the nature, then it can arise anywhere. Understand? Then whichever vibration that you want to know, then you just focus on the hearing. Understand? Then the awareness will pick it up. Then when you reflect and contemplate on all those that is within your field of vision, then all this will arise, but it's not through a thinking. It's a what they call Dhamma contemplation and reflection. Reflection and contemplation means what? You must not be actively thinking. Dhamma contemplation and reflection can only be done when your mind is relatively quiet and peaceful. when you are in a relaxed environment, when you are alone, and so on, not agitated by anything, not troubled by anything, you don't have any worry, any fear, but you are really relaxed, at ease, then you want to understand the Dhamma, understand? That's why you are there to silence your mind, to perceive the reality, and try to understand what the Buddha said. So your inquiry can start by inquiring the Dhamma that the Buddha talked about. Why did the Buddha say it? All of sense door consciousness, all of perception, all of thinking and activity of mind, they are impermanent. Sabbe sankara anicchang, sabbe sankara dukkang, sabbe dhamma anatta. How can I understand all this? So you just throw this inquiry out. No need to think. Means you just let it be. Then when you are silent, your mind is relaxed. It is creative, anasana. It is not preoccupied with thinking and all those things. Your mind need to have space to be creative, anasana. If you have a lot of things to bother you, to worry about, you have fear, you have emotion, all the whatever mental state inside there, means your content of consciousness is full of this sankhara. When you have that state, it's like you cannot move, understand? There is no space. Everywhere this thing is there. So that consciousness is not aware. It don't have space. It cannot be aware. It is like preoccupied with so many of these things. So you cannot reflect, you cannot contemplate, because there is no clarity, understand? But when you are at a higher horizon, when there is nothing to obscure you and block you, you can have clarity, you can see, because there is no obstruction, nothing clouding you. So the mind that has space is the mind with the pure awareness without its content. There is little or nothing inside there. And then there is clarity. Then during that clarity, there is space. Then whatever that arises from it, because you have made the inquiry, there is the condition for Dhamma to arise. When the inquiry is being thrown up, you don't have to think. The creative mind will arise, the creative thought or creative understanding. Then all of a sudden, through that perception, then you start to understand. No wonder. You suddenly realize this mind has this ability to perceive. Then as it perceives, your awareness is gone. Then if you don't think, that thing come back again. That's why your awareness can be like a flow. It's with the nature. Even the moving cloud, the chirping of the birds, the insect sound, the vibration, the temple sound, the moving car, or whatever. When your mind in awareness is one with the phenomena, there is no thinking, anasana. There is creativity. Then all of a sudden, you suddenly understand and realize, mind is like that, anasana. When I'm aware, there is no entanglement. There is joy. There is what they call happiness. There is this what they call consciousness that is so beautiful. Well, I don't react to what I see. I don't judge. I don't create thinking. I don't create response. I just feel, appreciate, be with it. Then when you flow and be with it, you act on and flow, everything becomes so beautiful. Then all of a sudden, through this understanding, you realize, hey, this is what sankhara is all about. Understand? Through this awareness, because I got the senses, I can let it arise. That it can condition me to latch onto it, hold onto it, and think. And that's how I get lost. Understand? And every time I arise this thought, this consciousness, this perception, this awareness, the next moment is gone. Understand? Then if I arise another one again, the next moment is gone. Understand? Then I realize, this is what the Dhamma is all about. These are all sankhara, activity of my anasana, my feeling, my perception, my consciousness, my thought process, they are all conditioned arising. They come and they go. I see it happening inside anasana through my silent mind. If I'm not silent, if I'm involved in the thinking, what happened? You are not with the inner awareness to be aware, anasana. It's just like if I'm not silent, I cannot see all your movement and activity, anasana. But because you all are attentively listen, so most of the time you are not aware of what you are doing, anasana. Yeah. But if you have inner awareness, then it's different. You can hear from your inner awareness. That's why hearing can be from the heart. No need to be from the brain. Human beings' problem is, you know why you listen from here, you hear from here? You know why, Anna? Eh? How come it's always in your head? Eh? You ought to know. Why?
My father told me when I was going to school,
Ah, that is correct. That one has a lot of wisdom. But your heart cannot eat it. That fellow will tell you, cheese, you know, I eat with my mouth. But actually, who eat? Who eat? The consciousness eat. The mind want to taste. You think your mouth eat. Your mouth don't have mind, don't have consciousness. It is the mind that have the craving that want to eat. Then it force the body to take and the mouth eat. But the taste consciousness comes from the mind, understand? Not? So you see the difference or not? So when you hear, means what? Who hear? The mind is always there, understand? Without mind, all this consciousness cannot arise. Without mind, all this hearing cannot arise. Those seeing, those thinking cannot arise. So what is mind? That's why it's so important. You must unfold the mystery of mind. You must understand what mind is. That's why I give you the hint. What is the true mind? What is the condition arising mind, which is the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the one that create a lot of delusion for you. That's why the Buddha got an analogy for the five aggregate, the condition arising mind. He said form is like foam. Appear real from far, but go near, is not real, not really solid. Then feeling is like bubble, pop gone. Perception is like a mirage in the desert. You see from far like got water, oasis, but you go near, it's actually a reflection from the desert, mirage. And your perception is actually like that. Then when it comes to sankhara, activity of mind, thinking, mental state. The Buddha said, the energy is like a banana stem. You cut the stem, the trunk. Layer by layer, you peel. When you reach the center, what do you see? Huh? You never peel a banana stem before. When I was young, primary school, I do the art class, I chop. So I every time go and cut, then I like to peel. Then I peel. Finally, I realize nothing. Empty. So in the core, at the center of all existence, there is nothing, empty. So sankhara is like that. Think and think, finally also not real. So, worry also like that, don't worry also like that. It's only a thought. Then why you go and become miserable over that thought? That's why you think the right thought, you're happy. You think the wrong thought, you're miserable. But it's only a thought. How come you can get so deluded and entangled by thought? So, coming back to the question, because of this senses, when you have the eye, you realize all in the head or not? Your ear also in the head. Your nose also in the head. Your tongue also in the head. Except your tactile is all over the body. So, what are you doing? That's why the brain is here. So that every time you see, record, you hear record sound, the memory sound. Memory is what? Brain cells. Understand? So memory is for you to use, understand? But use with wisdom, use with understanding. So those who study IT, they will know. There are two types of memory. One is RAM, one is ROM. What is RAM? Random access memory. This should be the way you use. That's why computer got no problem. Computer don't hold on to the memory and become angry. Computer is very impersonal. It follow logic, it just execute unless it short circuit. If it don't short circuit, the human brain also can short circuit, you know. But because human brain is connected to the emotion, understand? That's why it create thought and make you emotion deluded. So what is happening actually? Because your senses are here, understand? And you deposit and accumulate all the memory here. So every time you see something, you hear something, you smell, taste, tactile, feel or think, you use your brain, understand? Because this one is so near, understand? That's why you think a lot, understand? But do you know the actual seeing, you can see from your heart? Of course you need the organ to bring in the consciousness. That's why you can be aware from inside and perceive outside. See with the seeing consciousness outside. Aware inside and hear outside. Because the mind base is here. It's from here that everything comes to be. That's why the Buddha said mind is a forerunner of all things. But because you are so conditioned, since the day you go to school, they already tell you to think. So to you, the only instrument that you understand, that you know how to use to live life is your thought. Correct? You don't understand, the teacher tell you what? Go back and think about it. Understand? He never asks you to go back and be aware, reflect. He always asks you to study. So when you don't understand that there is another aspect of mind that you can use to live life, that's why you get deluded. You get yourself entangled. And you think thought is the only instrument where you have to enable you to live life. Do you know that if I ask you not to think, you try, don't think. What happened to you? You keep on thinking, you cannot stop the thinking. Why? Because you have not trained your mind to be aware. You don't know that there is another true mind that is just silent and aware. But now, it's the other way around. You ask me to think, I cannot simply think. Unless I need to understand something, I reflect, then some thought come out, understand? Otherwise, this fellow know that, no point, think for what? Think also like that, don't think also like that. Why? Because everything follow nature's law, understand? Nature's law means what? Cause and effect. If condition like that, means thing already conditioned, it's going to be like that, understand? Means the reality here and the now is already fixed, you cannot change, understand? Then why do you need to think, understand? That's why you act, understand? Act is what? You act with understanding. That's why without wisdom you cannot act. Why? When you act means what? That's why Krishnamurti is very wise. You know what he said? Acting according to memory is not acting at all. You see the deep meaning there. Can you understand? Acting according to memory is not acting at all. But human beings' problem is they always act according to memory. Correct? You see something. Oh, that guy, last time cheat me. I better be careful. What happened? Where this memory tell you, you perceive it that type of fear, insecurity. you don't trust this guy already. Understand? Why is it happening? Why you want to perceive something using your views and opinion? Maybe 10 years ago, 5 years ago, or 20 years ago, he or she was like that. But now maybe he changed already, or she changed. How do you know? That means you don't understand the truth. You don't have the Dhamma. You don't have the faith in your own karma. Understand? All this fear, insecurity, come from your memory. Understand? That trigger off. So if you act like that, you cannot have real action. Understand? You cannot act with wisdom and understanding. Means you act based on your memory. And memory is of the past. And memory is thought. Thought divide, create division, create segregation, create right and wrong, good and bad, evil and good. That's why you have all this problem coming into life. So when you see that clearly, then you develop what the Buddha teach, wisdom. When you have wisdom, means what? You have understanding. You know how to act. Based on what? Based on the condition there and then. You don't go and think. You don't go and worry. Understand? It's just like you cross a road. Understand? You have to be very alert, very attentive. You cannot in the middle of the road and think. Wow, this car. How must I move? It's too slow. Reflect action, automatic. You see a poisonous snake, a cobra, you straight away know how to react and reflect. Of course, those who don't have wisdom, there will be fear, understand? Because the thought trigger off, very poisonous, understand? But they already told you, you see a cobra and another type of race, you kill that race, you don't kill the cobra. Well, how come you cannot do? You scared of the cobra. Because you fear you will die, understand? And that fear is very real and trigger off through memory. But if you don't have fear, you have awareness. What is more important is you aware. You don't panic. You don't panic means what? You are calm. You are aware. Then you know how to move. If it come after you, then you move. Otherwise, you panic. Then there is this fear. And fear, you know what happened? Just now, Monica's sister spoke to me and I told her, when you have fear, even the dog know. They will bully you, chase after you, and bite you. Understand? No? Well, it manifests through your energy field. Understand? No? So fear is a very negative emotion, a very negative mind state. Why must you fear? The reality is, whatever will be, will be. That's why take care of karma. Karma take care of you. Understand? No? The condition like that, if you don't have the negative karma, no condition, nothing will happen to you. Understand? But if you have done certain thing before, if there is condition, it will manifest. So you have to face the reality, you have to face the reality. That's how you live life. You don't go and worry about life. Worry about, wow, my karma, how? I don't know whether my karma is good or not. Should I do this? They already tell you, last minute, look for toilet, very dangerous. Understand? Because you have to understand that this is all beyond your control already. Whatever that has been already conditioned into the karmic, you cannot change. So you have to avoid all evil, like the Buddha said. Then do good and purify your mind. That is how you protect your life. That is how you bring about the good condition for good life. So this is what happened. When the senses are here, the memory is here, you accumulate and you don't know how to use. You're not like the computer, random access memory. You never random one. You choose the one that you fear the most. You don't like the most. That's why I always tell people, the Buddha already teaches so clearly in Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. One little suffering, because of heedlessness, one lead to happiness because of heedfulness. That's why you act, speak and think with a wholesome mind, then you become happy. You act, speak and think with a heedless mind, wicked mind, with the evil root, suffering will follow you. So easy is that to live life. Your life, you hold the key to your own destiny. You decide whether you want to be happy or unhappy or miserable. Is that? So don't tell me everybody don't know how to choose. They choose to be miserable. Do you think that is the way they choose? Nobody will choose to be miserable. It's because of ignorance and delusion. They don't know the Dhamma. They don't know this law. They don't know this teaching. That's why they don't know how to choose. You know what they tell you? I don't want to suffer. I want to be happy. But the trouble is, everything they do leads to suffering. Understand? No? You know why or not? Because they don't know how to solve their problem. They hold on to this memory because they think this is very important. Like the first noble truth, the Buddha talked about. Health problem, they fear, they worry, they hold on. Like they cannot live now unless this is resolved. Understand? No? Then you got what they call separation problem, divorce or death of a loved one. Or that memory is so strong, no? The fear of losing the loved one. So all this, they go and hold on to that thought and develop that fear through the thought, that project. Understand? No? But the reality is what? The reality is the here and the now, life. Understand? No? So if you understand that this is the one, like this thing very hot, your wrong thought, causing you so much fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, what must you do? The moment you hold, it will continue to burn you and torment you, is it? Correct or not? So what must you do? Put it down, correct or not? Then what? It will not burn you, it will not torment you, is it? Then what happens? Then you have clarity of mind, so, where you are not tormented already. You don't have the fear, worry, anxiety. Your consciousness, your content is pure. It's like when you are relaxed doing your Dhamma contemplation. And then you have this clarity of mind to see clearly what is happening. And then you can act, isn't it? This is action. So, you go and worry and create your fear and project your fear. How to act? Understand? With that clouded mind, deluded mind, you can never solve your problem. Understand? Because you don't know how to solve your problem. You don't know how to act. So what is important is, you put it down. But like she tell me, how to put it down? How to remove that thought? It keep on coming to haunt you. Because you give so much priority. You don't know it's memory. When you need only access, you don't need leave it there. But cannot, because you hold on to it. You say, this is my problem. I have to solve it. That's why you hold on to it and try to solve it. How can you solve it when you hold? You hold means it burn and torment you and create all the fear, worry, anxiety. If you don't hold, you put it down means what? You accept the reality of what happened the moment. Then you reflect and contemplate with a clear mind. And then only you act. You act with what? Wisdom, understanding, noble eightfold path, no more negativity, no more getting angry, no more arising the wrong thought to torture yourself and harm others and hit out others, no more reacting to what happened. You come to terms with the reality, then you ask yourself, what can I do? What are my options? How can I move? Then this is more tangible, isn't it? Means how can I resolve this amicably, so that you are happy, I am happy, so that we are both not affected. Understand? Huh? So this is the solution. And this solution doesn't need genius understanding. It's just aware that you are torturing yourself. You are holding on to all these things and arising your fear, worry, and anxiety. And these are all evil root. These are all wrong thoughts. Dhammapada was one. That's why you say you want to be happy. To be happy, you need to be heedful. You need to arise the pure, wholesome thought. Understand? And then happiness will follow you. And it's so easy. But because you are so deluded, so caught in it, you continue to think and worry about it. No amount of worry can make you free. Understand? Worrying about life will make you miserable. Understand? Worry means what? You got no solution. Understand? You keep on worrying. Keep on arguing. Keep on getting angry, fearful, insecure. There is no solution. Understand? Don't worry about life. Live. Live means what? Understand the moment, the reality. Accept the reality of the moment. Then act with wisdom. That's why you act spontaneously with understanding. You don't go and project your thought and fear. No point. So, true action comes from wisdom. Without wisdom, you cannot act. So that's why the Buddha teach Yoniso Manasikara. You heard of this word? Yoniso is wise. Manasikara is attention. Wisdom at the moment of attention. Wise attention. If you don't have that, you cannot act. You cannot cut at the feeling. When contact arises, consciousness arises, contact condition feeling, automatically evil condition craving. You cannot cut at feeling. You don't have wisdom at the moment of contact. You don't have yoniso manasikara. That's why wisdom, the Buddha cannot teach you. Wisdom, I also cannot teach you. Because wisdom is a type of understanding, a type of awakening that comes with the understanding inside. And it's not rigid. So it depends on a lot of factors. That's why you must have right view, right understanding. You must have the noble evil path. Otherwise, you cannot act. You cannot have that type of wisdom. Wisdom is not rigid. 1 + 1 = 2. Like somebody come and see you with a problem. Another person come with the same problem. You cannot say, oh, I heard Brother Teo say like that. Teach them to do like that. You go and try. It doesn't work. Because when they come, when I see, I can feel, my nature can feel. Then from the way they talk and the way they answer me, this nature also can feel, can understand. Then even know what to do because it understands the nature's law. Then it has the wisdom to roughly judge or come to an understanding that this particular person, that path is like that, very likely. Otherwise, he won't get into this shape and this trouble. And everyone is different. Everybody's karma is different. Mind state is different. Condition is different. The environment also different. The time also different. The society's consciousness, civilization also different. So you cannot be like rigid. Apply, like they say, one size fit all. You go and buy one size of trousers, you expect everybody to wear the same. Cannot. So different. Yeah. Everybody is different. So wisdom you must cultivate and awaken. So this is why when you say thought and contemplation, the two are different. Contemplation means you are silent, aware. And through that silent awareness, you understand what is going on, where there is clarity. But if you think, it's different. Understand? So Dhamma contemplation is like that. Silent your mind first, just aware. Then in between, of course, the creative thought will come out. Understand? This creative thought is not from memory. Understand? This creative thought comes from the trigger of the inquiry. Because you reflect and contemplate on the Dhamma that the Buddha has teach. Understand? That's why there is a factor of enlightenment called Dhamma Vichaya. Understand? Dhamma investigation. You investigate into the Buddha's teaching, the Dhamma that he has taught you. This is a factor of enlightenment. It can make you enlightened. That's why this Dhamma contemplation can give rise to wisdom. And the Buddha call it Chintamaya Panya, second turning wisdom. Wisdom can arise in three ways, the Buddha said. First, he said, through normal hearing. Because in the ancient time, there is no book, no textbook, no writing. So they only can hear. So they say, Sutta Maya Panya is the first type of wisdom through hearing the sutta or the discourse that the Buddha has proclaimed. Then if you have your strong path, you can become enlightened. You can awaken to what he said. But nowadays you are more fortunate. There are textbooks. There are recorded CD tapes and all those things. You can listen and listen and listen again. In the Buddha's time, if you miss his talk, gone. You have to wait for Ananda to repeat. Then the advantage now doesn't really give you real advantage, you know. No? Because during the time of the Buddha, they know you go after the Buddha, sure get the right one. Now there are so many versions of his teaching and tape. So you go and read and you go and listen, you don't know how to filter. Now internet information is like that. You don't know how to filter. A lot of them may not be useful. It can actually the other way around. Because people just write, you understand? Not? So Dhamma is like that. You need to actually develop the wisdom to an understanding, then you will understand it differently. So now you understand the difference between reflection and contemplation. First turning wisdom lead to Cintamaya Panya. Then the Buddha said, after you hear through your listening, if it's first time, you may not get it because very new to you, it doesn't go in. So what must you do? Like nowadays, you go back and read, understand not? Do research and try to understand. Then you reflect, contemplate and inquire. Once you do that, what happens? It will stabilize your understanding of what you have heard because you reflected, you contemplate. Then this deeper understanding will give rise to a second level of wisdom that he called Cintamaya Panya. Wisdom born of inquiry, reflection and contemplation. So when you have that, it will actually trigger off awakening if you are ready, if there is condition for it. But let's say first and second turning you still not enlightened, then the Buddha said you have to do the meditation, which is the third turning. He said there is a type of wisdom born of bhavana. He called it bhavana maya panya. Bhavana is meditative discipline. There is the teaching, he said. Dana, sila, and bhavana. Dana is generosity. Then you keep your precept, sila. And then you meditate, bhavana. So when you meditate means you cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. You cultivate the Four Noble Truths, the Three Turnings. You cultivate the Four Foundation of Mindfulness, which is within the Four Noble Truths. So when you do that, he said, the mind will awaken. You will become enlightened. And this is the third turning, wisdom, bhavana, maya, panya. So three stages of understanding. Any of this can trigger off enlightenment. Especially when you are already stable with your second turning wisdom. Then after that, any of the turning, first, second or third, can trigger off enlightenment. So this is why sometimes you contemplate, the wisdom will come, you will awaken. Then like you understand, all of a sudden you understand. That's why I told you before I come this morning, I share with you all the note. You know what was the inquiry or not? The inquiry is, I realize it's so difficult for you to understand what mindfulness is, what Dhamma contemplation is. So I just inquire, how can the living being understand? Then I went to sleep. I never even wanted to think about it. Then before I wake up, find something. All of a sudden, I become aware. Then no thought. Then all of a sudden, this clarity of creative understanding come. Then I know how to tell you. That's why this morning, I quickly write on the board before breakfast they come. Then you can ask Miss Lee, they all who came. After they come, I just finish writing. That's why after that, I say we go for breakfast, then we have a simple puja, then I explain to you all. Now that's why I explain to you all, how actually the form and mind, the human being, to the five aggregate, how you develop heedlessness and heedfulness, because of the five hindrance, you remember? Then without the hindrance, when your mind is silent, automatically you are aware, you are mindful, you are heedful. So no need to do anything. So you only train your mind to have the spiritual faculty without the hindrance. Then you are automatically mindful, aware. The spiritual faculty is about awareness. So don't try to do any other thing. Just develop the awareness. The spiritual faculty means you do your puja, you do your Dhamma contemplation, you do your formal meditation, you follow the retreat notes and advice, and you diligently and sincerely work towards it, and it will happen. Okay? So this is what I can share with you. Almost 9 o'clock. Another 10 more minutes, I think. Oh no, 6 more minutes. Okay, 6 or 7 minutes. You got any more questions? Yeah, Ingby. Yeah. Yes.
You have been telling us there are two aspects of nama rupa, the form of mind.
Yes.
The first aspect is our physical body and the
four
elements of the mind.
No, not four elements. The first aspect is as a human being. As a human being, you have a physical body, then you have a mind, form and mind, understand? Nama rupa. That is the first aspect. Okay, the five aggregate. The first aspect of the five aggregate is as a human being. Understand? It's all in your notes, the one I enlarged on. The second aspect is the mental five aggregate. Understand? Your mind, like I wrote there. Your mind got four aggregates. It can have feeling, perception, activity of mind, and consciousness. But then how does the form enter the mind? It enters through the perception, understand? I already explained to you. The mind is the knowing element. Whatever the mind knows is the form in the mind. How do you know things? Through your cognition, through your perception, understand? This is how the form enter the mind. So every moment of consciousness, there is this form, mental form that you take in from outside. Understand? Like your loved one, your possession, your car or whatever that you perceive and you hold on to in your mental. And these are the mental form that enter your mind. Understand? So the aggregate, the mental aggregate also got five aggregate. And this is what the Buddha talked about under the dependent origination. He said the first two link is avijja paccaya sankhara. Understand? You understand this word or not? Avijja is ignorant. Dependent on ignorant, sankhara, activity of mind, thinking come to be. You know why you think or not? Because you don't have wisdom, you don't understand, you are deluded, you have ignorance. So one thing to know, one thing to experience, what do? You think it there. And that's why activity of mind start. That's why you think a lot. That is the problem. If you don't have delusion, you don't think. So you don't have ignorance, you don't think. The Buddha will tell you, first link, avijja paccaya sankhara. Because you don't have wisdom, ignorant condition thinking. Why do you want to think? You don't understand it. One thing to know, one thing to understand, you think. That's why the dependent origination is so simple. Avijja paccaya sankhara. After you think, what happened? The Buddha said, what happened? What happened? No. After you think, what happened? You think means what? You make contact with the brain, the mind. Your mind is an organ. Understand not? Your mind is an organ. Thinking means what? Make contact with the mind. Understand not? Of course, using the brain. Upon contact, like the physics experiment, what happened? Consciousness come to be. Understand not? That's why avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnanam. This vijñānaṁ is the mental consciousness, understand? But when you think, you make contact with the mind, understand? Then like the physics explain the light bulb lights up, understand? Means you become conscious, thought consciousness, understand? And this vijñānaṁ is thought consciousness. That's why at first it's the four aggregate, vedana, sanya, sankara, vijñānaṁ. But because your perception so fast, understand? That's why it enters the mind. Then vijñānaṁ pacchayavat nama rupam. The five aggregate. And this is the mental five aggregate. This is not the human being, understand? But a lot of the texts, the older generation, they call it the human being. Because they say the three period of time, understand? Because of past ignorance, understand? It condition what? Sankara they call karmic activity, understand? Karmic activity, the karmic activity. Condition rebirth consciousness. They say the vijñānaṁ is rebirth consciousness. Then rebirth consciousness condition a form of mind which is the human being. That's why newly born. Past life leading to newly born. Then after that, be dependent on this five aggregate of form and mind, arises the six sense basis. They say the human being once born, there is this physical body that have the senses, understand? And because of these senses, this consciousness inside, it create contact. Contact create feeling. Feeling create what they call craving. Craving condition grasping. Grasping condition becoming. Then birth and the whole mess of suffering. And this is how they explain. Means birth. Future birth. But if this is the dependent origination, then why do the Buddha teach? It happened only once over three lifetimes, correct or not? Does it help you? But when I meditate, I realize it's not like that. Every moment of consciousness, the dependent origination move. Sometimes didn't complete. Sometimes complete the dwelling. So what is happening is, they cannot explain how this dependent origination come about. So they use the three period of time because they think karmic activity, yeah, because they use the English word, give rise to rebirth consciousness. They call it relinking consciousness. Rebirth consciousness, condition, form and mind, the human being, very logical there. And because of the form and mind, there is this senses. So everything like appear very logical. So they say, this must be the correct explanation. But then, if it's like that, once over three lifetimes, teach you for what, understand? It doesn't have any application in it. I might as well tell you a theory. But then if I check in the mind, this dependent origin that the Buddha talked about is every moment, every instant, understand? Every moment of mind contact, there is this consciousness that arises. There is this feeling, the condition craving. Then how come they talk about three lifetimes? That's why for me, I don't really get involved with what the book writes. I investigate inside. Then I realize, it's not like that. I realize how the thinking come about. Because you don't understand. That's why you create thinking. Karmic activity is one form of sankara, understand? But sankara is activity of mind. Whatever you do, whatever that your mind can do, that is sankara. And because from there, you make contact with the mind. It trigger of mental consciousness. This is the mental consciousness, vijñānaṁ. And because you take the form, this form enters the mind. That's how the five aggregate come in. And they don't understand the second aspect of this five aggregate. No book write about it. Nobody talk about it. Except Ajahn Buddhadasa. He dare to say the three period of time is not what he understand. He say it's spontaneous, instantaneous, dependent origination. And I agree with him, because that is what is happening. But he cannot explain the five aggregate. He just say, it is not three lifetimes. He say it's spontaneous. So they are interested in contact, arise, feeling, condition, the other link. But what they don't understand is, contact is immediate, actually. When you think, there is already contact. Otherwise, you cannot think. Ignorant condition, sankara, avijja paccaya sankara. At that moment, there is also contact because the seven universal is there. So that contact is what? That contact is ignorant contact. Understand? So because of ignorant contact, feeling is also there. That's why this feeling immediately conditions craving. So the link is actually multi-dimensional in the mind, understand? Not a one-dimensional dwelling, understand? It doesn't go like that, like that, like that. Upon contact, consciousness also arises, understand? Contact also conditions feeling. Feeling already inside there, it will condition craving. So this link actually immediately happened already. Because ignorant contact, during that contact, simultaneously it moves. Yeah. That's why sometimes this dwelling, if you don't understand, if you don't see it inside, you cannot explain. You cannot explain to people. Yeah. And people dare not go against what is popularly accepted and written in the text. In fact, last time I went and shared with one Buddhist society, the president wrote to me, I gave him that blue book. He cannot agree. He said it's three lifetimes. Then he wrote to me personally and asked me that question, you know, point blank. You know. But luckily, I understand his direction. So I explained to him, no right, no wrong. We don't try to argue. I say, you meditate, you will know. Then I explained to him why I understand it that way. And then after that, he somehow got questioned. Because he think the textbook cannot be wrong. Everything that is accepted cannot be wrong. Then after that, I explained again. Then only he keep quiet. Then he, I think, finally he understand. Because I had to explain why I say that and how come it has to be different from what the text say. So all this, you don't worry. Yeah? Don't go and get it mixed up or complicate your thinking or understanding. Whatever people say, it is okay. Because their understanding like that, they will say it's like that. So no need to argue. No right, no wrong. Don't try to defend what I say too. Forget about it. Understand? Truth is the truth. Understand? Whatever argument is your version of truth, understand? You try to justify that yours is the truth. But truth, no need justification. Understand? Truth stand up to investigation. So if you can realize it and develop the wisdom out of it, then that is the truth. Understand? But you cannot develop wisdom out of it. You argue over what? Right and wrong. Understand? So right and wrong is relative. It depends on who say it. Understand? To you, at this moment, your understanding like that is right. But later on, when you become more wise, you look back, no more right. Understand? But as you progress further, when you awaken, no right, no wrong. At that level, he is still right. He is what he is. Then at another level that people see with higher wisdom, he say wrong. He also correct. Because he see it from that level. But when you understand the truth, then you realize there is no right, no wrong. Why? Right and wrong is your personal view. Why you say he is wrong? He is what he is. How can he be wrong? To him is right. So he is right. That's why finally you remember the Heart Sutta that we go through. Kan san, jiu si san. Then when the wisdom arises, kan san, bu si san. But finally when they develop mastery and the full enlightenment and the wisdom, kan san, jiu si san. But during that time, this one with mastery, no right, no wrong one. The conventional, what they call non-enlightened one, means the conventional seeing, means layman seeing. They say mountain is mountain, right? Because this is conventionally accepted as mountain, isn't it? That master also say, correct, right. Then this one developed the wisdom already. He can see beyond form. Perception of form is consciousness. The non-perception is wisdom. Then he said, no. There is no concept, no word. Kan san, pu su san. He said, I just see things as they are. No more mountain. Mountain is a word and a concept. And the master said, he also right. Then this master, who have master all, he can live in the world, isn't it? Because to him, this is living. Living means what? When I'm in the world, I agree with conventional reality. When I meet a wise one, I agree with the direct seeing. He is right, he is also right. And then this one, he don't argue. But when you have a view, like the one that awakened, but still got a view, but chances he won't argue, But he will tell you the truth. Kan san, bu su san. Because he don't see anything. He don't perceive anything. So wisdom is like that. Different level, you understand it differently. Then as you finally reach mastery, you don't want to argue anymore. Because right and wrong will not solve your problem. Right and wrong will lead to more misunderstanding and argument. So don't try to be right. Especially when you go through life, your relationship with your loved one and your spouse, if you try to be right, you will end up divorced at the hell. When both try to be right, what happens? They argue like anything. That's why I don't try to be right. Be appreciative of life. Have contentment, have love, have compassion. Then be wise, not to create misunderstanding. Follow noble evil path, act with wisdom. Then life becomes simple. Life has meaning. Then all those who have relationship with you can feel you. You are different. You are not the type that do all those things behind people's back. Oh, we have to stop. Yes. Oh, okay. Now you ask.
The second aspect of rupa is we are quite clear that the form that impacts through our perception.
Mental form. You take in from outside, yes.
Mental mind.
The mind is the same. No, it's the same. The mental is the consciousness, understand? And consciousness, the Buddha already break it down for you. He subdivide into four aggregate because your mind can do this four thing. And this is the conditioned arising mind, the mundane mind. He's not talking about the true mind, understand? But because this mind got four aggregate, people cannot understand how the five aggregate of form and mind can be in the mental form, understand? Because to them is the human being. They only understand it as a human being. But when I developed this meditation, I realized why the Buddha break it down like that. Why he breaks Sankara into Vedana and Sanya. There is no need for him to do that. Because Vedana is feeling. Upon contact, this feeling condition craving. And feeling is a very important mental state. That's why he separated it out, understand? That perception is the one that brings the external form into the mind. That's why he separated it out, understand? Otherwise, he no need. He just says Sankara and Vijnana, content of consciousness and the consciousness. And you know what Krishnamurti teach? He teach only one word, thought. Thought is five aggregate, understand? Thought is consciousness with its content, he said. When you aware, it's spacious consciousness. The moment you focus and think, then it shrinks into a thought. What is this thought? It's the pure awareness of consciousness with its content. Through the mind, through the memory, through your mental intention, through your views and opinion, you input the content. And the content is all your mental states. Sankara. So actually, content of consciousness is sankhara. Everything that your mind can do. That's why I got wholesome and unwholesome. Kusala and akusala. Your mental intention. So all this is actually sankhara. That's why the Buddha always used sabbe sankhara. But he break the sankhara into vedana and sanya. Then the rest of the 50, he just lock it inside sankhara. Yeah. So now you understand how the teaching come about. And this one, the book never write on, I tell you. But very funny, during the early day when I cultivate, I straight away go into the meditation, I cultivate, and I understand what is happening inside. Then when I come out and read the Abhidhamma, then I understand the Abhidhamma differently. I understand it so clearly. It's not what they think. When you realize what is happening inside, you can have the understanding. Then the whole Abhidhamma like quite clear. Then which part they wrote wrong also, you know. Then the seven universal one is correct. Common to all consciousness. They call it universal cetasika. The seven universal cetasika, content of consciousness, is common to all. That one is true. Because you need to have contact, you need to have perception. You need to have attention, manasikara. Then you need the life force. Yes, all these are inside there. That's why I know that part is true. But when Danny asked about the 17 thought moment and all those things, it's a totally different thing. That is very theoretical. Then he even tell you in Abhidhamma, one moment of consciousness, a billion of consciousness inside there. True. But you need to be a Sammasambuddha to know that. To see that. Normal level of enlightenment, you cannot. Because it's not to understand all those things, the thought moment, determining thought moment. Then the javana, first to seven. Which thought moment you make your mental intention? They say if the first one, it only valid this life and next life. If no condition, it won't arise. Then if the last thought moment, next life, no condition, it won't arise. Then in between 2 to 5, eternal. So that one I also don't know, I tell you. Because that is what they write. To me, no meaning. That's why the Buddha's advice under Dhammapada verse 183 is very important. Sabbe papasa akaranam. All evil you must avoid. Means what? Whether first thought moment, last thought moment, also you don't do. Understand? You don't go and take your chance. Because evil is evil. Cause and effect, very fast. Okay, maybe? So, exactly 9:15. I think we will do the closing puja. We will invoke the blessing for the nation too. We will chant the Pali, then I will do the explanation in English. So you compose your mind, then we will share this merits with the devas. Akasata ca pumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumodito cirang rakanta loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired. And may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed ones and those who can receive them. This one, tonight, we need to transfer. This place alone need them. Idang menya tina hoto sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tina hoto. Sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menyatinang hotu. Sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to all the departed relatives of ours. and all those who can receive these merits, and may they all to be well and happy always. Then we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatukalena sasa sampatiheto cha pito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammeko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the common of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Okay, final one is your aspiration. Imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawan nivana patiya. By the grace of this merit that we have thus acquired, may we now follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to the Buddha and all the worthy ones. Okay.